This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which tells you all you need to know about interiors and reveals the secrets of making that knowledge work for you in your home.
Big thank you to DFS for sponsoring this podcast. Every DFS sofa is handmade to order, with 5 decades of expertise going into each piece.
Now, this is exciting because we're recording at Sophie's house today. Now, when we came last time, the hall was done.
Yes.
And you just painted the sitting room.
It was all before now, Christmas, that mad rush, wasn't it, the last time we talked about
my house?
Yeah,
tailed off a bit, has it now?
Clearly has tailed off.
But these shelves, I haven't seen in real life. So these look brilliant. Nice colour pink.
Yes, that's right. So you're in my living room and I invested in having a joiner build us some built-in storage. You know, I rant a lot on this podcast. It's all about the storage, ladies and gentlemen.
Built-in storage is 30% more efficient, did
yes,
you say?
Yes, that's right. So we've had this built to fit, and you'll notice that I've got plenty of open shelves to show off my collection of design books. We've got family photos.
Shabby chic interiors.
Where's there a book
called
Shabby?
On your shelves next to Kelly Hopper.
Oh, Rachel Ashwell. Well, that's a design classic, Rachel Ashwell.
Is
Shabby
it?
Chic interiors.
Right. Urban eco chic. I bet that's a light
well,
read.
I haven't read that one.
Have you not? And wood turning masterclass.
Oh, that's a favourite.
I'll be waiting to see the results of that. And the anatomy of sheds. Excellent.
Yes, well, I've got a very
wide reach.
And you'll notice that your copy of Mad About the House, Kate, it's pride of place.
It's just miraculously appeared on the coffee table.
Yeah,
did you dig it out from under the stairs? Because I was coming. Exactly. Talk to me about these shelves.
Yeah, so anyway, so open shelving and then down below you'll see quite epic amount of hidden storage with door fronts.
Can I look?
Oh, if you must.
I do must. It's handleless, so is it one of those?
I haven't got round to getting handles yet.
In.
No, you have to stick your fingers near the floor. I haven't got round to getting handles yet. I mean, as I said, we're going slow.
So that is board games.
Yeah, we've got a lot of board games, and then there's like one full of Lego. Yeah, there's a Lego cupboard.
China that never gets used.
Yes, the Christmas china is in there as well. Oh, this is awful. You're really going through my cupboards.
Well,
it's quite revealing.
You know, what though... kind of handles are you going to have?
Well, actually, I've seen these really nice ones from Dazzling and Reynolds. They do really lovely handles.
Yeah,
I've got my
good.
Light switches from them as well. That's a good tip. They do these little leather loops, just quite street.
Oh, I had leather loops on my kitchen.
Did you?
Yes,
did you
nice.
Like them?
I did like a leather loop.
I thought
loop,
a leather
yes.
loop might be quite
really
nice.
Really nice. Tan. Brown.
Tan indeed, to go with the pink.
Excellent. Yeah. But what you haven't explained perhaps for listeners is that there's a long counter running all the way along the length of the wall, and then there are shelves going up to the ceiling
either side
of a window. So surely that's a window seat, because you could lean against the side of the shelves.
And I could get more pattern and colour in it. I could go for a really jazzy
Well, there's always
pink,
that too.
I like that idea.
There you go. I think that would look really cool. I love a window seat.
That's the thing is, even though I'm an interior designer and I'm immersed around this all the time, For my own home, I quite like my home to grow a bit organically and live with things for a bit. I mean, the big thing for me in here is that dark grey sofa, which I just hate now. It's just so wrong having dark grey in this light pink, colourful room. So I've got my chintz fabric swatch.
Oh, that's
here,
very pretty though.
This is a classic. This is a GP&J Baker chintz magnolia. I mean, it's probably hundreds of years old, but the colours, aren't they just so me? It's got the cobalt blues and oranges and pinks and leafy greens in it.
Well, and then some stripy cushions.
Yeah. Well, I've got this one here, Ottoline. What's her surname?
Ottoline de Vries.
Oh, yeah. Ottoline
de Vries. That's beautiful linen stripes, isn't it?
But with the stripes and the colours in the stripes, this is like a really broad ticking stripe-eyed deck chair stripe idea, but it picks up the colours in the chintz. Yeah, anyway, lots of fun to be had, in this room. Right, so now we're sitting down again, all comfy, in my elegant drawing room. Kate, what's next?
No, wait a minute, though. I wanted to come back to that chintz.
Oh, you
love
a bit of chintz.
And all those different colours, because there's already quite a lot of colours in this room, and now you're bringing
in
that
chintz. Now I'm sitting
on
my grey sofa and you're imagining it covered in chintz. Is it giving you the wobbles?
Oh, a little bit. Talk me through that, how you put that together.
Well, I think what it is, I never really design a room in my house singularly. Like, I didn't just think, right, now I'm doing the living room, now I'm doing the hallway. When you're designing a house, you have to do it in its entirety. And that's, you know, that's quite a big ask. So one thing I think that's really pivotal about that fabric that I showed you is the colours within it. That's very much my colour palette. And that's why I think I could go for such a bold print on a sofa. I know I wouldn't get bored of it. I know I'd love it. So I think that's the key for me, is find a fabric or a jumping off point, a family of colours that go. And then, yes, in the hallway, I wanted it to be really bold and dramatic and a bit wowy, which is why
it's got that
deep
blue in
there.
The chintz, hasn't it?
So. Yeah, and then in the living room, I didn't want that. I wanted this to feel quite a light space and bright, but also warm. So I felt like pink just did both of those.
Yeah.
It was light and soft. And actually, pink looks lovely in an evening light as well, because we use this room a lot in the evening. And yellow actually is a connecting colour in all the rooms in my house. I never use it as a wall colour, but there's always a dot of it.
So actually, you've sort of done it backwards, because you started off with the very bright blue hall, and then you came in here knowing you wanted it to be pink, and you've actually found a piece of material that ties it all together. So it's almost retrofitted, whereas other people could start with a really dramatic piece of fabric that they know has got colours they love and feel comfortable with, and then spin those colours out all the way around the rest of the house.
Yeah, once you know your colour palette, things start jumping out at you. That's what's so lovely. Because I think for a lot of people, when they're designing a house, it's the overwhelm. It's that, oh, should it be this or should it be that? And you get tugged and pulled and tousled, and then there's a real lack of confidence. But once you know your core set of colours, you know, five max maybe, core colours, could be three, depends how colour loving you are. Then you just, things start leaping off the shelves or off the internet at you and go, oh, what about this?
You know?
So that, I think, is a good place to start. And as I said, big headline is, don't think of the rooms in isolation. Do try and think of the whole house and how it will flow and connect. But also, every room should feel different and individual too. There endeth the first lesson.
Right.
On how to design a house.
Thanks for that.
Well, you have a very core colour palette, don't you? You've got the pinks and the chocolates and the forest greens and the burgundies. I mean, and the gold, obviously, the gold.
Well,
that's
although
very nice family of colours that go together, and you use them in different measure.
So your hall in that bright cobalt blue is your sort of central colour, and there's bits of it that go throughout. Mine is probably the stair carpet, which is that burgundy with spots on it, the sort of spine of the house. And every room has elements of
the
shades
burgundy.
Of pink or burgundy in it.
Yeah,
I suppose that's my central colour. Now, talking of stair runners and carpets, tenuous link, we're going to be talking about the rules of rug in this episode. But actually, today's the day, drum roll, we need a new sound effect, that we share our very first celebrity interview, the beauty entrepreneur and owner of possibly Instagram's most famous bathroom, Trini Woodall.
That was very, very enlightening. So stick with us to the end of the episode to hear all about that. But first up,
rugs.
Rugs.
Well, I think the first thing I would say is, as long as it fits in the room, obviously, but you can never buy a rug that's too big.
No, but you can definitely buy one that's too small, right?
Always.
I think we've touched on that on a few episodes before for our regular listeners.
It must either cover the whole area in an open plan space, or the front legs of the furniture should be on it.
Yeah, so here in my living room, I've got two sofas and a footstool. And this is an antique rug that I bought on eBay, because, I mean, that's the other thing, that can be eye-wateringly expensive. Yeah. But I did get this beautiful, beautiful rug. It's really beautiful quality. But it's big enough that the front of the sofa legs sit on it. And what that does is it kind of just connects all the furniture together, doesn't it? And stop it all look like it's bobbing
around.
Well,
and also, this is quite a big room, and that allows you to create a sort of cozy seating space,
like a zone,
around
isn't it?
The, yeah, around the fireplace. But you have then got a couple of cabinets against the walls of the room round the edges that don't feel left out. They're all part of the room. But because I think people often feel they need to put furniture around the edges to make the space feel bigger. Mm. And it doesn't. It can make it look a bit doctor's waiting room. So actually having a big rug in the middle or close to the fireplace, if you've got one, and grouping the furniture around that makes sense of having furniture in the middle of the room, because yes, you've created your sitting zone.
Yeah, it makes it feel cozy and gives the room a bit of focal point, doesn't it? Yeah. What I like is what you've done in your house. You've actually layered...
Yes,
two or
that
three
was
rugs,
slightly accidental, actually. So we've got a few Persian rugs, and people always ask me where they came from. And they came from my mother's house, from my grandmother's house. We bought one of them. And obviously the dream was to have a rug as big as yours, which must be, what, two metres by three, 3 by 4, and it's massive.
Yeah, something like that.
And we didn't have one that big. So we ended up layering them. And actually, the thing about those Persian rugs, it's different from yours. Ours are quite thin. So you can,
layer them without creating lots of lumps and bumps.
Exactly. You don't have to have just vintage rugs to do that. I saw in a magazine recently a fantastic idea. You know, we always say that black and white stripes go with everything. And lots of people have that very famous IKEA
Stockholm rug. I've got it upstairs.
I love that rug. But I think that goes beautifully with a vintage rug. Mm. Or I saw a picture the other day, which I loved, where someone had that black and white rug, and then sort of overlapping it at one end, they had a fairly plain rug in, what are we going to call it? Mustard, ochre, saffron,
turmeric,
dirty yellow, turmeric colour. And then at the other end, they had a chair in that colour. So they'd created layers
like
within that
colour
scheme. Yeah, and
nice.
It looked fantastic. And then there were lots of terracottas.
Well, I think that's the thing. So rugs as a design tool, obviously, they create a lot of comfort underfoot, which is really nice. So I've got a hardwood floor here. We've got an engineered wood parquet. So you want something softer and more cosy underfoot. We play lots of board games. I've got a young son who plays Lego. You just want something nice to sit on when you're on the floor.
But haven't you got underfloor heating? Is this quite a thick rug, or does that...
This isn't too thick. No, it's not like one of those really thick, like Moroccan Berber rugs or anything like that. But yes, we've got underfloor heating, and you do need to be careful. If you have a rug that's too thick, the problem can be, it depends as well on how hot you like your house. But yeah, if you have the temperature too high, and the rug obviously acts like a bit like a duvet, like it insulates, it can delaminate your engineered floorboards if it gets too hot. So it's really important that you don't have the underfloor heating on too high or your rug too thick if you've got that scenario.
Well, and presumably on a just much more basic point, if the rug is too thick, the heat doesn't come
it
through
will
into
stop
the
working.
Room.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. In my mum's annex, she has underfloor heating. She's got a very thin Killam rug.
Yeah.
The trick with those, though, if they're
going... They slide around.
So she's got a grippy underlay. Which,
right.
Well, I don't know, got it on Amazon or just somewhere like that. It's like a mesh, like a rubber mesh.
To hold it in place.
To hold it in place and stop it slipping around.
But you can layer Killams again, because they're really thin and the patterns tend to grow. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, so obviously, so there's a practical thing that it's soft underfoot. It makes the space feel cozy. It's nice to have a rug if you sit on the floor. But from a design point of view as well, it's a fantastic opportunity to add pattern and colour.
Well, because most people, I think... Most people don't have pattern sofas.
No, they do not.
And I think we're quite often scared of pattern in our sort of, you know, big pieces of furniture. And I get that. So if you've got a plain sofa, actually having quite a vibrant rug is a good way to bring in pattern, as you say. But also it's something you can change, in that you could roll it up and put it in another room, or, you know, so you could change it seasonally, or just if you get bored.
Yeah, and you don't have to spend so much money. Obviously, you can spend a lot of money on very high-end rugs, but also the high street brands like IKEA and Habitat and Laradute, and
they have really good modern rugs, and you can mix those
rugs
up. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other thing you can do, actually, if you've got a really big room, or if you live in a rental flat or house and you can't change the floor, and the floor is maybe laminate or something you hate, bit beige, you can do, which we did, buy a big piece of carpet and have the edges hemmed, and that turns it into a rug. So you could have them hemmed in a different colour or in a matching colour, and that covers up a lot of space.
Yeah, and if you buy a remnant, that can be very affordable, can't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, or you can go the other way, alternative flooring, do fantastic patterned carpets.
Which is a bit much in a wall-to-wall carpet.
That it, I'm all up for the pattern fitted carpet. I think it's rocking. But yes, if it's too
much.
Makes
a great rug if it's too much.
But it allows you to get the big sizes as well. So sometimes you struggle to get the right size. I mean, I really like to put rugs around the bed so that you have your ruggage. See, I've just made
good word.
Up that bad. So you have your ruggage either side of the bed where you get out of bed, but also round the end as well. And if you want to specify a particular size, you can do that with a carpet brand like Alternative Flooring. Then they can whip it in or border it in a lovely linen border. So, Kate, what are your thoughts on rugs on carpet?
Well, you can't. Do you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say with an exception. It doesn't work because it's too thick and the carpet starts walking, sort of moving all over. And it doesn't work. I discovered the other day, actually, because I've got carpet in my new office, in the gold ceiling office. And the mad husband said to me, which was extraordinary, he said to me, you need some plants in here. Now, bear in mind, I've spent 3 years saying plants, plants, plants. And he's gone, no, I don't want them. So for him to say that to me.
So why does he feel, and where is this going to be?
Well, no,
bugs
but you know
anyway,
what I discovered?
What?
He said to me, I think you need some plants in there. And I said, I can't possibly have plants on carpet. Turns out I can't do that. So,
well, as in you couldn't have a floor-standing plant put on a carpet? No, because even it would mark, wouldn't it?
But even with mats, I just thought that's a combination that doesn't work. If it was mats, floor, plants on floorboards, yes. But weirdly, I don't want floor-standing plants.
You need one of those little
carpet.
Tripod stands.
No, I don't.
To pop it in, you don't.
But so rugs on carpet, no. Unless, again, coming back to the rental property, if you have an awful carpet that you can't live with and you can't change it, then I would, you know, buy another massive piece of carpet that's as big as the room, hem it, and just lay it over the top as if it was a new carpet.
I absolutely love rugs, and over the years I've collected quite a bevy of them. So when it came to renovating my house, I've put seagrass throughout the upstairs. So we've got hardwood flooring downstairs. I mean, this is, as you can tell, a house in the country with muddy feet coming in and out every other day. So it's wood flooring and then tiles in the kitchen and the hallway. And then upstairs, I've actually gone for seagrass, which is probably quite an unusual choice for bedrooms because it's quite a hard floor.
I was going to say, is it nice barefoot?
Not particularly. Arthur's a bit upset about it.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a bit upset about the seagrass. But it has allowed me to scatter my collection of rugs absolutely everywhere, which is what I wanted to do, which has obviously softened it. Because I personally, and this might be, I'd love to know, listeners, what you think on this one. Because I think it is a bit of a personal thing, but I personally cannot bear a wool rug on a wool carpet. It's just too much wool. It just doesn't work for me. But a wool carpet on a sisal or coir or seagrass or one of those natural floorings, I think you can get away with it.
I mean, I think that those would be the rules of rug. It's maybe a bit harsh. I think just buy the biggest one you can afford and no rug islands, please, ever. But other than that...
And
I
then
mean,
you'll be
just,
able to sleep. This is the sort of thing that keeps you up at night, isn't it, Kate? Just thinking of all these rug islands up and down the land.
With their little coffee table boats sailing up and down on them. I do find it quite upsetting. But otherwise, it's about buy the biggest you can afford. And then just that's a really good place to introduce pattern, whether you go for modern rugs or Persian rugs or geometric rugs or... You know,
more rugs, the better.
More rugs, the better. And it is
Viva
a good way
the
to do
rug
pattern.
Revolution.
Even I like a patterned rug. Maybe not a patterned sofa.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So Kate and I are back on the road like a couple of roving reporters on our way to interview our very first guest in their home. Now, Kate's already arrived and I've navigated my way around these quiet streets of West Kensington. We thought it was time to switch things up a little bit, get out and about,
outside the comfort of our own living rooms and hear other people's stories on how they design and decorate the spaces they live in. Now, while the people we interview might not always be interior design experts, I mean, after all, you've got me and Kate for that, we do think you're going to find them really interesting. So, first up, Trini Woodall, a fashion stylist and beauty entrepreneur. First made famous by her hit TV show, What Not to Wear, followed by a regular slot on ITV's This Morning. She has literally styled the nation, but it's her more recent beauty brand, Trini London, and that hugely successful Instagram channel that has really put her on the map. Talking of which, I think I'm here.
Okay, Sophie, so here we are in the most Instagram-famous bathroom.
I'm so excited to be in this bathroom. I absolutely love your videos, Trini.
Welcome to the bathroom.
I'm not an expert at makeup, but I'm an expert in your bathroom. It's awesome. Can we just also just paint the picture? Trini is sat here in this mirrored bathroom, covered in sequins, looking so fabulous on a Monday morning.
It's quite early on a Monday morning.
It's very early.
Sophie and I are in wool. Yes. Trini's in sequins.
No, but I'm in sequins. I mean, it's like, when you don't have time to do a makeup or skincare routine, put on some sequins because it will do it for you. It will reflect light back into your face. It will act as a natural highlighter without you having to buy a Trini London highlighter. And it just makes you feel happy. And I think it's about dressing up and dressing down, that combination which can help women wear something really smart in a very casual way.
Yeah, because you've got sequins on top and then fabulous wide leg denim jeans and sneakers.
And sneakers.
So it's quite small, this bathroom, but there's a lot of stuff in it. How do you manage that?
Well, it's like every bathroom I've ever had in my life, it is all down to Muji because I've bought their boxes for so many years and they're these Perspex boxes. I'm going to, by the way, this is all my sequins moving. And they stack on top of each other, but the key thing is they're clear and they just contain all products that I use, and then it's a way for me to have a filing system because I need a filing system.
I mean, I'm like a soap and water girl, okay, and a bit of moisturiser, and I'm go.
I'm just mopping Trini's brow.
Can we just have a little, like, so cream and foaming cleansers, cleansing gels, or lots of cleansing gels, then onto exfoliating cleansers, exfoliating scrubs, peels, acid peel pads, acid vitamin C, vitamin A, and I haven't even got halfway through the amount of drawers in here at the moment.
I'm looking at anti-pollution and rescue and emergency calming.
I love it. I feel like this is like the DIY SOS. Well, of the beauty makeup world, isn't it?
The other reason I've got to have it like this is when I do my lives, and I usually do one once, you know, every morning, I'll do what I'm going to do, and then people ask me questions, and I want to come with an immediate answer. Yeah. So I'll think, okay, what's a good product? And I want to be able to show them this is a good product. And then I try and find.
So this is very much your working bathroom.
Yes, very much so.
So your bathroom that's your own personal space, is it as epic as this or is it a bit more of a tailored?
No, the bathroom that's my personal space is bigger, and I've got the Muji boxes for my Trini London makeup and the rest is on shelves, and I have the right hand cupboard, you know, in front of the sink, so that will be stuff I'm using, and the left hand cupboard is stuff I'm going to be testing.
I love the idea of having a cupboard of stuff you use all the time.
For quick and access.
Yeah, yes. I love that. Do you use that kind of organisation in every area?
Everything.
Of your home?
I'm doing at the moment this culling and rearrangement of the wardrobe. And I have to say, you know, my wardrobe is slightly different from everyone else's because I worked in fashion for 20 years and I, along the way, bought a lot of things.
Yeah.
And
are you telling us you've got a big wardrobe?
Yeah, I have I have 11 cupboards. All right, so let's just be honest.
Let's just put that out there now. Right.
So I've now created two rails in my spare room, which is where my sort of wardrobe is. And I put on it things I think I want to get rid of. And I'll go back to it and look and then think, am I going to pick something up for the next month from that, those rails, and use it?
Oh, nice. So, is that just like a halfway house?
It is the halfway house. And it just, because sometimes we think, oh, we've got to cull, and we do it in this slightly panicky way. And like that lovely woman who's Japanese who said, see, do you love it, have a passion for it, want to have an affair with
Marie
it if you
Kondo,
don't,
yeah,
let it go. Yeah. It's an element of that, but I think I've sort of done that for about 20 years. And then when I know what's left, I'll either sell it on, because what I want to do this year, and I don't know if I'll do it, is I want that all the money that I'm going to get from these clothes is what I should spend for the year. which is really interesting idea. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but it's my intention.
So you're saying you, the clothes you sell will give you a certain amount of money, and then that's your yearly budget for
that's
clothes.
That's what I want to do. Yeah,
that's such a clever idea. But I think
that
we
makes
could
me
all
nervous.
I know, it's making me bloody nervous too, because you know, it's that's why I call it an intention.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's worth thinking about. Mm. I think everybody could have a think along those lines, couldn't they? Do the clear out and then.
And
use
I think
that
a lot of people find it difficult because the execution of how you get rid of them is the hardest thing. You know, are you going to do eBay? Is that so complicated? Can I get my head around it? And so I'm going to do a bit of eBay, a bit of Encore in Sarenhurst, which is a secondhand shop.
Yeah.
A bit of Vestiaire Collective if something's very expensive because they give a good rate. And then I'll do Friends and Family and then Oxfam or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
Do let us know which Oxfam you can drop in. And when. So those are really good tips on storage for both clothes and makeup. And I think the stacking storage was what led you to inventing your makeup.
I think
am I right?
It was that portability, and I love things. I wouldn't say I love things come in small packages, but I love to have everything accessible to me in an easy fashion. And with my makeup, before I started in London, I used to put it in little Muji crackable pots, but I would mush together, you know, Laura Mercier blusher with a liquid one, and I'd get the right consistency that I really thought was good on the skin, and I'd get the right colour that I really wanted. We all suit very different things, and when you look at a girlfriend and say, oh, that's a lovely lip, it might not suit you. So
I've definitely fallen into that trap. Yeah, we've all someone got their lipstick great. Is gone out and bought it, and I just look awful in it. Yeah.
So I wanted also to create this way that women could say, this is me, what makeup do I suit?
Education.
It sounds to me that you're really passionate about people finding the look that suits them the best so they feel their best. And it's about tailoring it to the individual. Because I know for Kate and I, with our interiors podcast and everything we do with our blogs and everything, we're trying to help people to create a home that's really them, that's individual, that isn't just copied off Pinterest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you apply your same passion for styling and style and colour and all of that kind of stuff in your home too? Do you see your home as an expression of...
I think what's very interesting is... I've had four main homes in my life. So the first home was my parents' home, and that changed a few times. But my mother had a kind of eclectic taste. We travelled around a bit. So it was a kind of mixture. There was some sort of inherited antiques, and there were, you know, just things she bought. And then she bought a furniture company, so we seem to have the whole house full of this furniture. Which is
another female entrepreneur.
Yeah, but it was reproduction Sheraton. It was like, God. At the time we were living in Germany and, you know, the Germans loved it. Then I got my own first home in Notting Hill, a little flat. That's when I began to do things like I use a lot of mirror to make rooms
bigger.
Yeah,
we're seeing that in here, actually.
We were admiring that. Then actually you've got a wall of mirror on the landing.
On the landing,
which is bouncing the light back in.
And then I think in any home I've had, and I've had two homes where I've had a narrow hallway, I will spend the money, £800, £1,200, to mirror the whole of the wall next to a staircase. Because I think in London homes, you come in and there's this sense of, if you own
so
a house,
narrow,
they're very
they?
Narrow. Yeah. And that just immediately, you see a double staircase, it reflects a light which might be from the top of the door from outside, and it just makes it bigger. And then I've always as well, I'm such an old beast, in my sitting rooms, I love fireplaces, but I've always had on either side the fireplace mirror.
Actually,
because
cut
I've
to
doubled,
fit into the alcoves.
Yeah, to cut into the
alcoves,
because then it doubles the size of the room. So my last home I sold a few months ago because I was I've moved in with my partner and I've moved into a home that's already been done up. So here I am, age 54, living in a home that's not my taste, but the person I live with happens to have lovely taste and very clean and simple taste. But then I have got an office that we're moving into. And the biggest important thing for me is lighting. In a last career, I was a commodities trader when I very first started working, and there was a horrible strip lighting, and I was the only girl with 64 men, and I hated that strip lighting. It affected me so much. Bad acne. So it all came down from above, you know, and that sort of
down.
Acne so bad that I would always choose the restaurant's lighting on a date, you know, so it wouldn't be down lighting.
Yeah.
And also in a bathroom, the lighting is very key.
It's so key. And when you're having makeup done, it's key. So
have you got any tips for lighting to make you look good, or lighting in your bathroom or dressing
room? I like natural light more than anything, and I feel that when we look at the world we live in today, there's so many people who will filter themselves or will, you know, do
as in filter themselves on
social media.
Yeah.
And all my bathrooms are done with me live, and there's no lighting, there's no filter, there's nothing. And I always want to have an east-facing light.
So that's the best light.
I mean, amazing. So
east.
Yeah, so when I was going to rent the place that I was living in when I was downsizing, because I rented that out to pay for the business at the beginning, I would keep going around houses and I go straight to the bathroom and the guy would say, don't you want to see the sitting room and the bedroom? No, no, no. I go straight to the bathroom. If the bathroom light wasn't right, I'll literally walk out and he'd go, but you haven't seen the rest of the house.
That's
oh,
so interesting. That. Because so many people do actually buy a house. They want a south-facing garden or they want a north-facing room.
Yeah.
So
actually
east-facing bathroom.
East-facing bathroom.
Adding that to the list.
Yeah, gives Brilliant you this tip. Fantastic light. So here... you know, people come and have their picture taken. Like Caroline Hirons was here and she was like, should we use filter? And I said, trust me, the lighting is great. And she took up and she then took 20 selfies. Because it's a really nice light. And so I think having a natural light, especially when you do makeup, is so important.
Yeah. Because so when you're applying makeup, you want to be doing it in a natural light.
Because most of the time, especially if it's not, you know, you'll be seen in daylight. Mm, and you don't want to think, oh my God, I've been hit by bronzer or hit by a blusher.
So I put my makeup on it. 5:45 this morning.
Well,
in my dark.
Yes.
I'm now really worried. I'm
no, you don't use so much makeup, and you're mainly about blush, and
yes,
you've got a little
bit of
base on. But you know, it, and you also happen just to so you know, I don't know how often you see these ladies, but they both have great skin, and I think that's very helpful.
So that soap and water is doing me well.
My bathroom is north facing.
Okay.
I just worked that out.
You were just doing the north south east.
Yes, I was just
yeah.
That's so interesting. So your new offices are.
Well,
some of them is
okay.
East.
This is the issue. So the new office, I was trying to figure out. Okay, but there is a line of windows which is east facing, but at the moment there's a weird yellow filter on the window, so we have to take that off. And it's a different kind of light. So I've got to go there when the other people move out and think, where am I going to recreate? Because I need a bathroom there, but there isn't a bathroom. There isn't plumbing there, and I want to have this space there. So I need to recreate this space in that office.
For what I'm getting from you is this. All about the light.
It's all about,
those big mirrors
and
those fabulous windows.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you have a lot of colour? If you were redecorating a house now, would you go for a lot of colour or do you like it?
Well, I live in a house which is, you know, just not so much colour in it.
Yeah.
It's just about... It's about really interesting wall space and very clean lime wood floors, which are like this wide.
Yeah,
the
fabulous.
Things. There isn't much in each room either. And I've got used to it and I quite like it because I was a house of clutter. There was something from the honeymoon in Morocco and my trip to Italy.
Yeah.
And when I was in, you know, on a Native American reserve, I got this. You know, just it was a whole... But I kind of love... looking round a home and thinking all of the memories that those things are from. So I went through that phase, but I think we can, I don't think we have to have a phase that's for life. I love the fact that our style can evolve in the decade that we're in. And whereas before my home was my pride and joy, now Trini London and, well, Lila is my pride and joy because she's just a delight.
Lila,
and
your daughter.
My daughter. And Trini London is my pride and joy. And then I just feel... That was a phase, and this is my next phase, and who knows what my next phase
brings.
I
love that. Mm. I love your whole embracing of fluidity and not... Because I think, especially with interior design on our homes, we can get really, like...
We can get attached. We can get attached.
Can I just ask you, Trini, have you got any design crimes to throw in our design crime pot in the room 101?
Too matchy-matchy.
Oh, yes.
Too matchy-matchy, probably. That would be a design crime.
So that's sort of when your curtains match your bedspread.
Yeah.
Or your cushions.
Yeah.
Wall art matching your cushions.
I think the only time, because I actually do own a home in the mountains as well. I have a chalet with my sister. And my sister, though, is an interior designer, so she did most of it up. She has lovely taste. But that's where matchy-matchy is great. So I have a toile de jouer fabric on the wall and a toile de jouer blind for Lila. And I have a red checked fabric on the wall in my bedroom. And I have red checked headboard.
I think if you're going to do the matchy-matchy, if you do it like full attack, like I love that fabric that matches the wallpaper thing.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool. Yeah.
Yes, then you've got to go for it.
You've got to
go
really
for it. You've got to embrace it. Yeah.
Oh, well, Trini, it's been a complete joy and you have been so much fun to interview. You're such an inspiration. Your business is such an inspiration as a designer and a stylist or an icon. So
Darling,
thank you so much.
Thank you for having us in your bathroom.
Well, thank you for coming in the bathroom.
Huge thanks to Trini for that, and do let us know who else you'd like us to chat to in this series of interviews. You will mostly find us on Instagram, where I'm Mad About the House and she's Sophie Robinson Interiors.
So let's just sum up the key points from this week's episode. First of all, we talked about the work that Sophie's been doing in her house and how to find a common colour that links all the rooms. You must never design one room in isolation from the rest, but design the whole house as one. We then talked about rugs, and the key message here really is buy the biggest rug you can afford, but it's also a great way to introduce pattern into a space. Then we had great fun snooping around Trini's bathroom and discovered that of all the things to look for when you're buying a house, an east-facing bathroom is key.
We'll put all that information, pictures, links and so on over on the blogs. Mine is sophierobinson.co.uk and hers is madaboutthehouse.com. And just in case you thought I'd let an episode go by without mentioning it, here is my regular plea to please subscribe, rate and review on your podcast app, because it really helps other people find us.
Thank you so much to DFS for sponsoring the series. And thanks also to our producer, Kate Taylor, and to all of you for listening.
And we'll see you in the great indoors.
Bye.